Dr. Pinsky dictating email IME on June 19 regarding Stephen, S-T-E-V-E-N, Cauley, C-A-U-L-E-Y. As you know, I previously evaluated Mr. Cauley as described in the report cited above, but he is now a 62-year-old male who recounts injuring his left shoulder at work on 5/4/15. Brady did not go to the emergency room, but subsequently was diagnosed with a rotator cuff tear. Brady was repaired surgically. Brady is no longer receiving any active treatment. New paragraph. As per the additional treatment records supplied, the petitioner was seen on 5/13/19 by Dr. Hillebrand, having last been seen on 4/1/19 for right posterior thigh pain and anterior thigh pain. Brady had fallen 6 feet off a ladder at work and had ongoing symptoms with leg pain, but he also has some rotator cuff issues and currently notes that after having the epidural at L2-3, he was actually feeling much better. He is much more complaining about his shoulder now. He had a history of anxiety, depression, high cholesterol, sleep apnea, surgeries on the right shoulder, right knee, and left hand. Dr. Hillebrand then had him see Dr. Lazarus on 6/7/19. He related the last injection given gave him no benefit. He brought with him an MRI of the right shoulder of an unspecified date. There was a small partial thickness tear at the anterior supraspinatus tendon. His impressions were incomplete rupture of the rotator cuff, right shoulder pain, spontaneous rupture of flexor tendons of the right shoulder, partial thickness rotator cuff tear and possible partial biceps tendon tear. He ordered laboratory studies in anticipation of surgical intervention. New paragraph. He did undergo surgery as noted in my prior report. He followed up postoperatively on 7/5/19. He continued to see Dr. Lazarus postoperatively over the next many months, running through 7/13/20. On 3/16/20, he was seen for left shoulder pain. Had previously undergone surgery on this shoulder by Dr. Lazarus and recently had his right shoulder done. But he also had a prior history of cervical spine problems. 3 weeks ago, he was in Florida and began to get pain radiating from the left side of his neck down his arm into his fingers. He had no workup or treatment. On 10/11/19, he was 3.5 months post-operatively for the right shoulder. Brady was pain-free and completely happy. Brady had full passive range of motion with great strength. He had some mild downward displacement of the biceps, but this was completely asymptomatic. On the visit of 3/16/20, Dr. Lazarus had him undergo left shoulder x-rays. The glenohumeral joint was well located and there was no superior migration or arthritis. There was a prior hole in the humerus from biceps tenodesis. He diagnosed left shoulder pain and left cervical radiculopathy and placed the petitioner on a Medrol dose pack. New paragraph. On 4/14/20, he was seen by Dr. Sinha, S-I-N-H-A, for neck pain. via telemedicine, period. He had 5 weeks of left upper extremity pain and paresthesias, but denied any injury or trauma. Pretty has a prior history of left shoulder surgery and recently took an oral steroid taper, which worked great for a short period of time. Pretty is currently taking tramadol for pain, period. Dr. Sinha started him on Lyrica and tizanidine and referred him for a cervical spine MRI. Pretty new paragraph, this was done on 5-4-20 to be inserted here. Dr. Sinha reviewed these results with him on 5-21-20. Pretty declined additional therapy but was going to continue medications. Pretty was being referred for a left C7-T1 epidural steroid injection under fluoroscopic guidance. Period. On 6-17-20, Dr. Young administered such an injection at C7-T1. Period. The paragraph on 7-13-20, Mr. Cawley returned to Dr. Hillebrand for left-sided neck and shoulder pain. Pretty stated this began in March or April 2020 and had been progressively increasing since then. Period. He had one epidural steroid injection that lasted about 10 days. Pretty was taking a variety of medications. Pretty complained of having some issues with dropping objects from his left hand, but no issues with the right. Period. Dr. Hillebrand diagnosed cervicalgia and cervical radiculitis. Period. His physical exam was notable for diminished rotation to the left and a positive spirulings to the left, as well as symptoms that can be provoked with the Hermite sign. Period. Neurologic exam is notable for increased reflex tone in the lowers versus the uppers, although he does not have clear evidence of Hoffman's or Babinski. Pritt's impression was left arm, predominantly left arm pain due to spinal cord compression, although other than having some issues with dropping objects, it was unclear to what extent he actually had mild myelopathy from this. Pretty recommended a course of physical therapy, including traction. Period. This apparently was rendered. Period. Physical exam. Extremities upper inspection revealed healed portal scars about both shoulders bilaterally, but no swelling, atrophy, or effusions. Period. Left shoulder abduction and flexion were to 170 degrees, but motion was otherwise full in all independent and composite spheres. Period. Motion of the right shoulder was full in all independent spheres, but combined active extension with internal rotation was to T12. Period. Motion of the elbows, wrists, and fingers was full without crepitus, tenderness, trigger, and interlocking. Period. Manual muscle testing was 5-, resisted left elbow flexion, but was otherwise 5/5. Period. Mild tenderness anteriorly about the left shoulder, but there was none on the right. Shoulder maneuvers, he had a positive Hawkins and O'Brien's maneuver on the left, which were negative on the right. The rest of those are normal. Spine cervical active extension was to 50 degrees, but motion was otherwise full in all spheres without discomfort. Thoracic normal, lumbosacral, he had a midline healed scar consistent with prior surgery, but preserved lordotic curve. Period. Sitting and supine straight leg raise maneuvers were deferred. Period. Impressions on 5-4-15, Stephen Cawley injured his left shoulder as noted in my prior report. Period. Since evaluated here, he entered into a settlement agreement for 27.5% permanent partial total disability for orthopedic residuals of a rather significant left shoulder injury, which resulted in a biceps tendinitis, subacromial decompression, and rotator cuff repair with post-surgical cortisone injections. Pretty then reopened his case and was seen by Dr. Lazarus and his colleagues at Rothman Orthopedics. Period. When he saw Dr. Sinha in April 2020, exam of the left shoulder was normal. Period. He then went on to treat with Dr. Hillebrand and Dr. Young for the cervical spine. Period. I had been informed that the cervical injury and right shoulder injury were not accepted as compensable. Period. With regard to the right shoulder complaints, petitioner gave a history of falling down a flight of stairs which caused his shoulder pain. Period. New paragraph, he did undergo a cervical spine MRI in 5/4/20 to be inserted here. Pretty accepted injections to the cervical spine from Dr. Young. Period. He related the offered complaints involving the left shoulder after having just undergone right shoulder surgery as well. Period. It does not appear that he received substantive additional treatment or diagnostic testing relative to the left shoulder. Period. In the paragraph, there was mildly decreased range of motion about the left shoulder with no weakness or with no atrophy or effusions. Period. He had positive Hawkins and O'Brien's maneuvers on the left. Period. There was minimally decreased range of motion about the cervical spine. Period. He had intact sensation in the upper extremities. Period. New paragraph. My opinion relative to permanency and causation will be the same as marked on my prior report. And that is the end.